unfinished business. Approval of the annual capital projects request for fiscal year 2015-2016. This was postponed from the October 28, 2014 regular assembly meeting.
There's someone else. Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a back on his.
I move to approve the Borrego Capital Project request for fiscal year 2015-2016 as presented.
Second.
Ben moved and seconded. Now we have some discussion.
Just quickly, Carol and I and Carl sat down and based on what the assembly talked about last time and reworked this as we believed that how the assembly wanted it there. And then we also went through number 20 versus before. I think we had 10 on there, because I think they do enter the top 20 in the CAPSIS in the state process there. So so this is what you got here.
I just had a question on it. The water treatment pilot study, wasn't that on the original list?
It's funded.
It's funded. So
it's funded? Off.
Yeah.
Okay. That was on the list, our working list,
right.
That it got taken off.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a couple of questions. The first item, the request amount is higher than the project amount. Is that for a particular reason, or?
Probably not.
Oh, just an error, yeah.
Just an error.
Okay. And then the...
And on that also is, until we get that report back, and hopefully we'll get it back before we actually have to submit it.
Mm-hmm.
So if something changes there, this would still be the number one thing, but if we get an amount from the architect that's doing this study, then we can plug the something more exact in there. But right now we just, it's a...
You'll make those two match though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And then further down, number 12 and number 18, they're blank. Can you even just, you know, plug in some kind of an estimate there? Or?
We will.
Okay.
I think Clay is trying to get something for that.
Okay.
And then 18. We'll have to check with the school on that.
I think Brett's got a rough estimate for 10 here.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Maybe I could address this to Carl if that's appropriate.
Sure.
Carl, the 911 system, it's currently at number 19. Is there any potential implications for us not revamping the 911 system, both to the community or also insurance rates and our rating system and all that stuff?
It's been more of a Doug thing, and Jeff might actually have heard more from Doug than me, but I know he was talking that he thought it'd be all right for a little longer.
That's true.
We can put it off a bit longer. Okay.
Yep. And we're...
We have the 911 system, correct?
Yeah, but it's...
Can't get parts anymore.
Yeah, you can't get parts anymore for the one we have and some things like that. But we're... Some of the impound stuff that they've got, the seizure stuff, we'll start... We'll have some seed money anyway for this. And other than that, we would have to look for the legislature for out of our own thing if it got to that point. But according to Doug, we do have some time here. It's not like it's completely fallen apart, but they're keeping it going at this point. And so I think we're good for a little while.
Okay. Thank you.
Daniel?
Sunrise Lake, alternative water source. I know that idea has been tossed around for a long time. It's just my opinion that before we ever spend one penny on that, I would much rather see us expand our current reservoirs and rebuild the dam up there and stuff. To me, that's just much more feasible than trying to run a water pipe from all the way over there under the water to get water over here to us. It would not be something that we could rely on. The first time there was ever an earthquake and that pipe broke, we just lose that source. And it just seems like a big waste of money to even explore that when we've got two good reservoirs up here that we can expand on and dig out and rebuild the dam on and have a much more reliable source.
Yeah, I think this was always...
Go ahead.
This was always a combination project, you know, for power and water. But I do know, and Carl can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Corps of Engineers came in here, I don't know how many years ago, but come on up.
What are we going to do without
but
you?
But they determined that the best long-term solution was to build a dam, a bigger dam, in between the two we have, mm-hmm. and then abandon the two dams. But the price tag they had on there was $50 million.
It seems like that was somewhere in the early 2000s, wasn't it? 2005,
yeah, something
like that. Yeah, they scored everything based on you know, reliability of the water supply and cost and a whole bunch of other factors, and decided that at that time, and that's without, I don't think they considered power in that thing at all, but as far as just strictly water supply, the dams, and it was actually to put a dam right behind the lower reservoir that was high enough that it would flood the entire upper valley, so it would be higher than the upper reservoir, but you'd still have the lower reservoir as a backup, so you could run off it while you worked on the other. But, and it would have more than double our water supply. I think their target was a year's storage, and but yeah, that was what was it, 45 million many, many years ago.
50 million 10-12 years ago.
And I think they forwarded to the, you know, based on their, you know, engineering or, you know, design and on, they I think they forwarded the engineering cost estimate on to the federal government to secure funding, but you know, that's probably so far down their list that you may never get that. And it was many millions.
I agree with Daniel. I think the days of this deep pocket federal funding is over, and I think we need to look at our own local reservoirs, and I think this kind of pie in the sky.
So Carl, why was the Sunrise option put forward? Was there also a power generation module with that?
No, I think at the time, I think they considered Virginia Lake, Sunrise Lake, they were looking at all the water sources that were within reason, you know, that were close enough for angle to even be of use. And you know, Virginia Lake isn't really high enough to supply very well to here, but Sunrise Lake was. And it's a pretty long report, and I haven't gone through the whole thing. I just looked at the scoring, and for all their factors, they decided that this one was the one that they wanted to pursue as far as the Corps of Engineers. But We did get the money for at least a portion, most of the money. I think we can get the bypass line in, and that'll allow us to do some improvements to the reservoir over the years. For you know, we could work on one while drawing off the other and not contaminate our second reservoir. We can start, you know, dredging it out if we can find chunks of money. It gives us some options at least to make some improvements to the reservoir without having $45 million.
So I remember a few years ago we almost ran out of water here. Mm-hmm. I think in the time I've been here, it's been two or three times, and it's hard to believe that could happen. But whether it's Sunrise Lake or improvements to the top, if we don't have water, we don't have industry. We don't have people able to survive. So it would seem like If that isn't the option, we need to figure out what is and make sure that we're starting to pursue that, because our fishery can't do without it. So,
yeah, it's always tough when you're trying to promote business, and every year I've got to, at least when things start getting low, start hassling the fish operators to throttle down the water and be careful, and at the same time you're thinking, you know, we're trying to promote industry in town.
Yeah, one of the biggest... A bigger problem than the reservoir amount is actually the plant, and that's maybe a bigger problem with the
fisheries
is we can't put enough water through the plant. Mm-hmm. Even if the reservoirs were full, there's only so much, you know, per hour that you can
treat,
and that's been the problem more than I would say the total supply.
Every year we have supply problems with the treatment, and that's really why I'm hassling the
process is usually is the tanks start getting low, and that's more of a throughput on the plant problem.
And that's part of why this pilot study that we have the funding for, that we can go forward and see if there's a treatment process out there that will do what we want it to do with the kind of water that we have, and be able to put more water through per hour than we can now.
Our process does require us to waste a lot of water too, so that might help too. If we could, with a different process, help be a little more efficient with our water. The back flushing stuff uses up a lot of water up there.
What pilot project?
It's funded.
Oh, it's funded. Okay,
yeah,
so that's
it's
not
a
on here.
The,
okay.
A filtration or a, to take care of our water. We got money from the state this last July or this last legislative session. And that will allow us to go out and we'll put an RFP out, and we'll look at a bunch of different methods to do this. I think Carl can correct me, but what they normally do is they look at the type of water you have, and obviously if you have it coming off a mountain that's a rock basin and there's very little sediment in it, it's one thing, but obviously that's not our case. And so it takes more a different kind of treatment maybe to do this, and would work somewhere else. But we're trying to find something that will work for us that we can, put more volume of water through in a same period of time. And that will resolve, 90% of the problems we've had with the fishing industry, is that we just couldn't get them enough water. We had it at the reservoir, we just couldn't get it through our system. So hopefully this will, of course, that just tells you what to do. It doesn't give you the money to do it. And that's the problem with most cities, is there are just tons of things that everybody would like to do, but you're limited money-wise what you can do. I mean, we know this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, but as the federal and state monies dry up, it's going to get harder and harder to get money to do some of these things, and you're going to be lucky to do, we've been kind of expecting 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different things every year to get funded, and you'll be lucky to get one funded. So
I know Sunrise at one time, besides the water source, had been talked about possibly developing an alternative power source through there, but that's kind of out for us because we're under a contractual agreement with SEPA to purchase 100% of our power from them. So it would do us no good to develop that as an alternative power source.
Well, SEPA now has that application process for the permitting was turned over to SEPA, so that's in there.
Okay.
I think it's cleaner water than we have, but it's got some difficulties. You look in our course books for our operators and talk about how to treat water in all the systems, and slow sand filters, which is what we have, says it's for clean water sources, and we don't have a clean water source, so I really don't know why we have a slow sand filter. It's not the right system for us, but we may do.
Anything for you? Full vote, please.
Before I full vote, can I ask who made the second? Who seconded that motion? I personally have a motion.
I think Julie did.
Thank you. Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yeah. That's all the old business. Item 13, new business. 13A, approval for engineering services and to purchase a new digital excitation system for the light plant.
I'll move to approve purchasing a new digital excitation system from Basler Electric for the light plant without competitive bidding, as allowed under Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.050F, and to also approve Electric Power Systems Incorporated to provide the engineering services for this project without competitive bidding, as allowed under Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.050E, with funds for the project to come from the current light fund budget.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
You're going to have to tell me what the hell this is.
I can tell you a little bit about it. Is that when you're generating power, you have to have a power source to get it started, basically, to put it simple.
And that the evidently, I'm not a, as you can guess, I'm not a electric guy here. I have trouble just turning on a light switch. So, but according to Clay, this was budgeted in the spring budget when we adopted the budget. He'd put $65,000 in there, and then as they got closer to this, there were some other things that they were going to need to do also. The reason he wants to get it from this particular company is this is the company that supplied the last one, and this the parts, some of the parts will be compatible with this, and he doesn't have to buy everything. He can use some of the things that exist already. But the current one right now is not working, and it, you know, works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's just not very reliable right now. And I can't. I think Clay had a memo in here, and I couldn't explain it as far as electric-wise what it exactly does. But it is something that he needs. Like I said, he went through the process budget-wise, and the. As far as the electric power systems, the engineers, they're the engineers, and that went through a competitive bid process years ago, and they put all our, did all the diesels, all the control systems and all that, so they've been pretty much our diesel guys for the generators out there for a long time. And they are located in Southeast Alaska, out of Juneau, and I think they're one of the few in Southeast that that services this kind of.
So this is for our backup generators.
It's for our backup generators when Taiyi goes down. But it is a something that without fixing this, that generator, particular generator, is very unreliable. And I can also tell you right now that I know in the wintertime, if Taiyi goes down and everybody's on electric heat, it pretty much can get tricky to keep everybody on. In fact, automatically when we go off Taiyi, the high school, the Nolan Center, and the public safety building are all city buildings, and they're all on electric heat, and those automatically go off. As soon as the power would go off, they automatically kick on to diesels, and would have, the only way you can get them back on is manually to reboot them onto the electric. And so the standing order is when that goes down, basically they're going to be on diesels until we're back on Taiyi. Now there's times of the year that they could keep running, but in the winter time and certain other times, so the system, even with those down, it can get strained without every generator being able to operate. So it's pretty important for our backup power to get this fixed.
Daniel. I had been down there and taken a tour with Clay, and our generators that are down there are in excellent condition because they're Cummins diesels, the parts are readily available for them, and Clay and his staff keep them in as good a condition as you could ever expect to find. The problem that we have is there are four boards down there, if I remember correctly. These boards have a variety of different electrical components on them, and they tell the generators what to do and where to send the power once it's generated. Of those boards, one of them, which is the one we're talking about replacing here, has some kind of mysterious defect in it. They've had engineers in it to look at. They can't figure out. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're really old. The company that manufactures them no longer manufactures replacement parts for them, so our only option is to start replacing them one at a time, and this is the main one that's giving them all the problems, so he wants to start with it first.
Any other discussion? Well, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed resolution number 11-14-1307, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Rankin, Alaska, avoiding the Ward replat. Plat number 2008-3.
I move to adopt resolution number 11-14-1307 that voids the Ward replat number 2008-3.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? None for all, please.
Assembly members Decker?
I actually had a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was just curious that I don't is it normal that the property could be subdivided before the person owned it, or you know outright?
No. This you're absolutely right, and the city has actually run into the same problem once. Mm-hmm. There was a purchase, and this is similar to this. There was a purchase. We allowed a subdivision before the person actually owned it. In other words, there was still money due. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened here. And then there was a default on the payment. And so then you had the subdivision, but then the state didn't get paid. They wanted back the land that they had originally given, but there was this subdivision that changed everything. And so I know Carol's been working with the attorney and also with mental health, that this was the best option to fix the whole thing, is just to go back to square one. The state would get their back, the original lot that the person had would revert back to that, and we'd be back kind of at square one. But you're right, it's something that should not happen until everything on it is paid. But it did.
So is there kind of a process that planning and zoning goes through to check those kinds of things? I don't know, because I've never gone through it.
And I don't know either what they do. I know normally there's only been a couple occasions that this has even happened, so I don't know if they really have a process to check it. I know now, after both this one and another one that the city was involved in, and that kind of worked itself out, but this one didn't because it was a little different circumstances. But I think certainly now that this has come up, there will be some, in Carol's office, she would advise if someone come to do some kind of a subdivision, and we would confirm that they actually, or have them confirm that they actually own it through a title search or something like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Had he sold the property already?
Yes.
No.
Well, he has now. But.
Yeah. Sorry, going back to mental health.
No, I'm talking about his own property, his original property. I think he sold that. But he didn't pay for the mental health portion. So they wanted it back, but there had been the subdivision of that property, so they couldn't, what they wanted to get back didn't exist anymore because there was a subdivision. So the best route to go was just to void this subdivision and go back to where we were before.
Jeff, you're telling me that the state sold it to Ward. Ward subdivided it and took a piece off, and then the state had to take it back.
Because of non-payment.
Because
of contract.
Non-payment. So Ward took part of it and subdivided the other part of it. I'm a little confused on how this. Usually when you subdivide something, the state would have had to sign off on the subdivision. Why didn't that take place?
I'm not sure.
If I go subdivide a piece of ground and I owe bank, the bank's got to sign off on my subdivision.
He would have brought it here and the city would have approved that. And I don't know if, and then they had that recorded. So I don't know if they weren't aware that he hadn't paid the contract off or what.
But you're right.
Anybody that is owed, but I guess unless we would require a title search or something that would show documents showing someone else had a lien on that, and maybe that is the step that wasn't done.
I guess that's my question. Is the borough liable for forming a subdivision when we didn't have the right to form it, or we didn't have approval from the owners to form it? So I guess this is what I'm asking is, you know, do we need to be a little more careful about subdividing and having?
Probably do. Yes.
Maybe that's something we should look at in the code review committee as a planning and zoning ordinances, to add something in there to ensure that is done.
And I'm not sure that there isn't anything like that, but it may have been one of those things, you know, people get busy and he proclaims that he is the owner of that, and you move forward and maybe don't look more carefully at that step. I don't know if that's what happened or if it isn't in there as one of our steps, but we certainly know now it should be, and that.
So we're correcting that.
Yes. So this particular motion would void that subdivision plat to get everything back to where it is, so everybody can get the right land back as it was before this all started.
Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jeff?
Yes.
And I will check with Carol to see if what her recommendation is, if it's an ordinance change that we need to make sure is in the code there, is that that's one of the required steps, or if it is one of just missed, that we make sure we have some kind of a checklist or something that, so we don't get into this again.
Very good.
Thank you. Item 13C, approval of a budget amendment in the sanitation collection budget to purchase additional dumpsters.
I'll make a motion to approve the budget amendment to increase the line item 34.01.00.5855 of the sanitation collection budget from $4,000 to $10,000 with funds to come from the sanitation reserve fund.
Second.
Ben moved and seconded. Any discussion? Ben.
Can I get Carl to step up? I understand why this is needed. Okay, my question is, with the recycling possibly on the horizon, if that goes through, will we still need these?
I think so. I think we'll need more containers, actually. Most of these are used commercially, and with the recycling thing, the recommendation, I believe, is it'll go through. It wouldn't even be commercial initially if we went full recycling. They'd do residential first, and then if that went all right, then you'd progress to a commercial. But the dumpsters we've been short on anyway, and you know, between the harbors and the canneries and stuff, I don't see there going to be a whole lot of recycling going on in some of those spots anyhow, where most of these dumpsters go. So they'll still get used. In fact, we're going to need quite a few more containers if we do recycling.
That was a follow-up question. With things the way they are, with these additional dumpsters being ordered, are there enough customers out there that we're going to put most of these to work with just a few left in reserve?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that line item in the budget may be a little low anyway. It's a holdover from kind of the old system. It's been a long time since it's changed, but that can go through the budget process again in the future. You probably need about 10 a year. That far behind right now.
Anything further? Next time, Carl, just pull up a chair. Nothing more questions or comments, but I call vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file, there is none. Executive session, we have none. Item 16, adjournment at 7:59.